ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्णया भाववाहिन्या योग्याय कामैरपूर्यया कर्माणि कार्यमानोऽहं नानयोनिषु योजितः।
Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling in existence in various forms of life. Turn on lights. Turn all the lights. I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches. The living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmaja navratam anukulyena krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain, through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. The material existence is sometimes compared to a river, as described here by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the living entity is like an insignificant piece of grass that somehow or other falls into this great river. And the waves of material nature's laws are carrying the insignificant Jivatma, from one condition of life to another. They carry us from one species of life to another, from one nationality to another, to one social setting or family to another. All temporary conditions. And as described here by the Avadhuta Brahman, that due to insatiable material desires, one becomes bewildered by the temporary occurrences of this world, and one becomes very much attached to his condition of life. This attachment to our temporary condition of material life is based on illusion, and it is the cause of all bondage and suffering in this material world. Janasya moho yahamaham mameti. It is described here that the conditioned soul, illusioned by this false concept that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine, they constantly have to struggle hard in this material existence. Last night someone was asking that how is it possible to remain steady in one's devotional activities, because it is so very difficult living in this world, trying to be Krishna conscious. Sometimes, even though my desire is to be Krishna conscious, because it is so difficult, I naturally give up. But this material world is a place of a hard struggle for existence. Whatever path of life you decide to take, it is a hard struggle. It is designed that way. It is not that the materialists, they have a very easy life and the devotees are struggling very hard. Just to eat and to maintain one's status quo is a tremendous endeavor, which entails tremendous sacrifice. And despite all our endeavors, it is not an easy thing to succumb to old age, to disease, to death, and then again to suffer the turmoils of another birth. In the spiritual world, there is no difficulty. In fact, there is no such thing as difficulty. It is said that in Vrindavan, all talking is singing, all walking is dancing, and one's constant companion is the beautiful melodious flute of Lord Hari. But in the material world, wherever we go, we find strife, we find crying. How much suffering is in this world? Over half the population of this world is practically in slavery, being persecuted and oppressed by demoniac governments. And those who are not in that condition, they are constantly oppressed by endless competitive challenges in life, where whether they are successful or whether they are failures, they are frustrated at one time or another. It is a place where everything is uncertain. Sometimes it is said the further west you go, the more the spirit of sense enjoyment is awakened. Of course, America is famous as the supreme place on earth for sense enjoyment. And in America, everyone on the East Coast knows that the biggest and greatest sense enjoyers are on the West Coast. And the furthest most west point in America is California. And everyone in the United States and everyone who knows in the world will admit that there is no greater place of sense enjoyment than California, where there is nice, beautiful sandy beach, and everyone, their bodies are very beautiful and very strong and very healthy, and the weather is always just nice, and there's tremendous wealth, luxury, fresh foods of all varieties. And perhaps the most famous sense enjoyers in the world, they are all living there. All the movie actresses, movie actors, all the musicians, television stars. In this way, people leave from all parts of America to go to California for sense gratification. Correct? So here we have the ideal utopian place in this world for sense gratification. And yet, they know, those persons who are there, and they are living in constant fear that at any second there will be an earthquake and their whole civilization will fall into the ocean and they will all be destroyed. It is not a question of whether it will happen, it is a question simply of on which date. Every geologist on Earth admits that it must happen. And when it does happen, it will be total devastation. It was due hundreds of years ago. And the longer it does not happen, the more severe it will be when it happens, because it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. This crack in the earth. So here we are, people of India, those who are materialistically inclined, are very anxious to go to America. And here, the topmost place of sense enjoyment in America, and yet people are living in constant fear, always looking behind them while they are enjoying their sinful activities, waiting, when will that day be when everything is taken away? And I merged into the Pacific Ocean. So, of course, this is the factual state of current events in this world. But it is also most symbolic. Everything Krishna does in this world has very deep symbolism for one who simply wants to see and understand the message Krishna is trying to convey. Is it not a fantastic message that Krishna is revealing to the world through this current condition? That no matter how much you struggle and strive and tax yourself to be successful in the process of sense gratification, this material world, you are always on a tottering platform where at any second, at any given date, everything will collapse, and you will again fall helplessly into the deep, vast ocean of material suffering, where despite all your successful endeavors for the glories of this world, at any second, you will be devoured by the vast ocean of death and destruction. Therefore, sane man, according to Bhagavad Gita, he is not attached to any of the things of this world. He is not attached for his own sense enjoyment,
to his prestige, his wealth, his family,
even to his own body or senses. He is only attached to the service of Lord Hari. And therefore, he will very, very conscientiously utilize all the things of this world in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Knowing that devotional service is the means of crossing over this ocean of material existence. It is said in Bhagavatam, Samastrita ye pada palava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomurari kripambu diravatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. That a wise man, he never trusts or puts his faith in the pleasures of this material world. Because he knows that in this world there is danger at every step. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Just, we are so unconscious. We are in such ignorance of the situation around us in this world. A devotee of the Lord, when he walks down the streets, especially in a city like Bombay, he sees that everyone, they are simply in a daze. They are simply blinded. They do not understand what is around them. Just like sometimes you see that there is a little bird, and the bird is just dancing around here and there, looking for little insects to eat. And he appears to be just very happy, enjoying his senses. And then you see there is a large cat that is simply watching him at every step, just waiting for the right moment to just leap upon him and tear him to pieces and eat him. Huh? So you see the cat and you see the bird. The bird is about to be devoured at any minute. He will be devoured at every minute. But because he does not see the cat, why does he not see the cat? The cat is right in front of him. Because he's so busy looking for his little insects to eat, or looking for his little seeds to eat. He's so engrossed in just eating his little seeds that he doesn't see the inevitable destruction that is about to devour him. He doesn't see the temporariness, the fallibility, the vulnerability of his state of existence. Therefore, we say this bird is in complete ignorance. But this is the condition of everyone walking around in a daze. Everyone is so engrossed in just searching for their little seeds of material enjoyment that they do not see that there are innumerable dangers about to devour them at any second. They do not see that death is upon them, just waiting for the right second to tear them to pieces, to devour them. They do not see that the threefold miseries of material existence are all around them. They do not see that with every step that they take, there are innumerable miseries and dangers that could come into their life. The great sages, they are aware that this material world is a place of danger at every step. This is the awareness, the consciousness of the great souls. How many steps do we take in a day? And with each step, how many times are we aware of the dangers that are around us? We just walk
by complete fools. We just walk, step after step after step, without even thinking of reality.
But the reality of this material existence is with every step your life is endangered. And that is a fact.
Through the media, we can read the newspapers, we turn on the television, any news that has to do with this world, it's 99% bad news. Time and time and time again, all we read about is how there's danger at every step, at the least expected moment. Your house will burn. Your automobile will crash. Disease will enter into your body. Economically, there can be disaster. There will be disaster. People say, why do you speak like this? This is just doomsday philosophy. Huh. It is doomsday philosophy. Because in this material world, every moment is doomsday. Because you are one day close, every second you are 1 second closer to death. Huh? With the rising and setting of the sun, you are 1 day closer to death. Every day is bringing you closer to doomsday. It is not our philosophy. It is the philosophy of this material world. So if we want to be realistic about life, the only way we can have positive thinking is to make our goal Vaikuntha. Otherwise, all positive thinking in this world, this material world, Martya Loka, the place of death, it is all simply a grand illusion. We are enjoying, like the Californians. But at any second, the quake will come and we will all just massively fall into the ocean of death. And we do not know when it will come. All we could do is hope that it will not come too soon. That's the most we could do. With all science, with all technology, with all their bombs, just see, they can spend billions of dollars a day building bombs to destroy, but with all their money, can they fill that crack and stop the earthquake from happening? They cannot even endeavor to do so. Huh? There's not even a hope of preventing it from happening. The wealthiest country in the world, the wealthiest section of the country, California is the wealthiest state in all of America. And with all their wealth, and with all their science, and with all their technology, they cannot even hope to prevent this great disaster. That is the power of this material existence. We are all completely helpless, whoever we are. Therefore, an intelligent man, he knows that the waves of this material nature are indefatigable, undefeatable. Therefore, he gives up competing against the miseries of material existence. Our whole life, we're simply competing against the miseries of existence. Why does a man work so hard throughout the day? He may think out of illusion, I'm doing it out of love for my family, or I'm doing it out of love for my society. But actually, he's doing it in competition against the miseries of material existence. The misery of hunger, the misery of too much heat, of too much cold, the misery of dishonor. He's working simply to try to combat against these things. If I have money, then I can defeat my opponent of hunger and thirst, and I'll have shelter to protect me from heat and cold. and I'll have enough money to prevent, to combat against disease. I will have medical insurance and make so many arrangements. Try to understand, this is a hard struggle for existence where we're constantly competing the infinite opponents of the sufferings and miseries of material existence. But we are very small and insignificant, and our opponent is almighty, as God is almighty, because mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. We are fighting against the divine energy of God. We cannot win. Krishna says in Gita that I am death personified. Just like Hiranyakashipu when he was fighting against Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev, just to fulfill Hiranyakashipu's desire to think that he was very strong and very conquering, he allowed Hiranyakashipu to actually think he was winning the fight for some time. At one time, also Lord Varahadev, when he was fighting Hiranyaksha, the same principle. The Lord always lets the demons have a little bit of illusion that they're winning. When Varahadev was fighting against Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha took his mighty golden club and he leaped in the air with all his power and he roared like a lion toward Lord Varahadev, "You are slain!" And then he smashed the Lord's club with his club and the Lord's club fell to the ground. And Lord Varahadev was without a weapon. And Hiranyaksha was thinking, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Just see my power. You think you can fight against me?" And Lord Varahadev, the demigods, they were thinking, "Oh my God, Vishnu is about to be slain." And Hiranyaksha was convinced that he had already shown that he was more powerful. Now it was just a matter of time till he could kill God. But Lord Varahadev, he was very confident, simply smiling at the whole situation. That is the condition. This material world is God's energy. Sometimes Krishna, through material existence, allows the illusion conditioned soul to think that, yes, I am conquering the multifarious opponents in the form of the miseries of material existence. I do have healthy body and nice wealth and good intelligence, and I do have a very peaceful situation in life. I am conquering hunger and thirst and heat and cold and honor and dishonor. I'm conquering these things. Just see what I have done with my own hands. Just see how responsible and pious I am. I'm happy. I'm winning the war. It's a hard struggle, but it's worth it. This is the mentality of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Whether you're pious or impious, in this world you're fighting against the miseries of material existence, and material Maya is simply smiling at you. You think you're defeating me? I'm just giving you a little time to play with you, and you just wait. In due course of time, what did Varahadev do to Hiranyaksha? After this whole battle, where Hiranyaksha was displaying all his mystic powers, and through most of the battle, it appeared Varahadev was losing. And Hiranyaksha was convinced he was going to win. He was creating such illusions with his mystic powers. And then in the end, Varahadev thought, "Huh, he thinks he's winning. I've let him go long enough in his illusion." And then Varahadev simply took his lotus-like hoof. Boars have hoofs. Huh? And he just touched him behind the ear. Just went like this. And just by touching him, here they were beating each other with clubs and smashing each other with fists and weapons. It was a very terrible war. But in the end, he just took his little finger and went. And it was like a thunderbolt into Hiranyaksha's head. And he just fell to the ground dead instantly. And the whole earth shook. That is the destiny of every materialistic person.
So rather than simply fight this hard struggle for material existence, we have to give up our insatiable material desires through the process of purification, through the process of associating with saintly persons, through the process of chanting the names of God, through the process especially of dovetailing our natural inclinations to struggle for Krishna. So this lady last night who was asking, how can you expect me to be steady in devotional service when it's so difficult? This world is a difficult place. This world is a place of a hard struggle for existence. Whether you are a devotee or whether you are a materialist in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, you have to struggle in this world. The question is, what are you going to struggle for and who are you going to struggle for? If you struggle for your own profit, adoration, and distinction in this world, you are in danger at every step. You will fall into the ocean today or tomorrow, suffer and die. And no one can deny that that is a fact. But if you struggle for Krishna, if you accept hardships and difficulties on behalf of Krishna, in the service of the Lord and his devotees, then you are transported beyond this ocean of material existence. And you realize that within your own heart is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, that place where there is no anxieties. And you can live there eternally. While in this body, you can live in that place. You can be in this world, but not of this world. You can see it for what it is, and see you in your real relationship with God. Krishna says in Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yobeti tatvata tyaktva deham punarajana naiti mameti swarajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my activities in birth, one who engages in my loving service, never takes birth in this material world again. This material world where from the highest, most pious condition of life to the most sinful, hellish condition, they are all miserable. Where there is danger at every step, where death is the conclusion. But one who attains my abode, Krishna says, will never suffer again. In the spiritual world, there is no struggle, there is no hardships. Everyone is simply dancing and chanting. It is a joyful existence. But in this material world, there is only a struggle. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, today or tomorrow, your life is a struggle. And it's a struggle like the struggle of Hiranyakashipu against Varahadev. It's a struggle against an enemy that you can never defeat. It is a struggle against the almighty destiny of death. So therefore, this great Avaduta is describing to Prahlad Maharaj how he's taking the position of explaining the journey of the soul in this material world. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws. And thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. If we can simply release ourselves from the bondage of insatiable material desires, then we are freed from all the sufferings of material existence.
It is our desires to enjoy this material world that is like a chain that keeps us bound to this condition of great suffering. So we must purify our desires by constantly engaging our mind and senses by good direction of saintly persons in the service of Lord Sri Hari. When our mind and senses are engaged in the service of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we should know we are no longer in this material world, but we are en route to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
The guilt is coming, the guilt coming, anxiety is there. But then they just casual, okay, when it comes, let's face it. Probably somewhere behind, they might be having this. But then once they are into it, they are, that's kept aside. The fact that they have not gone, moved out, is okay, when it comes, let's take it. That's also a kind of plus that they have done.
They're so attached to their sense enjoyment, they cannot give it up even though they know they will be destroyed. They're not willing to admit, even though they know that it's a fact, they're not willing to admit it because they do not want to give up their sense enjoyment. Huh? This is the power of Maya's illusion. Try to understand. The power of this illusory energy is indescribable. Huh? Any other questions? Yes. The example you used of a pig. Obviously, this is a very well thought out example because you do not say anything whimsically. Everything that Maharaj says is very, very systematically, methodically analyzed before it is spoken. So he used the example of a pig, how a pig is thinking he's, at least he's trying for happiness. Ah, he is happy. So then, become a pig. Indra was also thinking like this. But how long does that pursuit of happiness, that illusion of happiness remain? That is the question. It cannot remain. It is described that Indra, because of his pride, he committed offense to a great soul. So he was cursed to become a pig. Try to understand. Here is such an illustrious personality with so much responsibility, with so much physical beauty, with so much facility for opulence all around him. And he was cast into such a degraded body as a pig. Of course, I don't know if you want to consider a pig a degraded body, but most people would say from Indra to become a pig is a great state of degradation. And he was just like you're saying, he was enjoying the life of a pig. He had his little piggies,
so many little children, and he had a beautiful pig wife. Can you imagine? He gave up Urvasi and all these heavenly damsels, his wife Sachi, for a female pig. And he was thinking, she is so beautiful and nice and so kind and so, she just makes me feel so good. And my children, they have such sweet little childish words. To a pig, that's sweet. To you, it's disgusting, but for a pig, it's sweet. And I get to eat nice, fresh stool every day. Huh? My wife prepares nice, fresh stool for me every day. With great care. And in this way, he was enjoying like anything. And Lord Brahma, he saw that the heavens were in disorder because Indra was neglecting his service. So he said, okay, Indra, the curse is finished. Now come back to your heavenly planet. Indra said, forget it. I have a wife. I have children. I have a home. I have a life. I've made a life for myself here. I'm happy. Just like what you are saying. So Lord Brahma let him go on. Until one day, the proprietor of the farm that pig was living decided, it's time to slaughter the pigs. So right in front of Indra, the farmer first took all of his little piglets, his little children that were so dear to his life, and he took them by the feet, and he took a knife and cut off their heads. And Indra was thinking, oh my God. And then he took the wife and slaughtered her. And then he picked up Indra by the feet and took the knife. And just when he was about to slaughter him, Indra just cried out to Brahma, take me back, get me out of this horrible, miserable place. So you see, as long as we have mentalities of pigs, those who have mentality of pigs, hogs, they think they're happy in this world. They're struggling so hard just for a little stool of material enjoyment. They're under the illusion. But they do not know that at any moment the sword of death is about to sever them from all the things that are near and dear to them.
Thank you very much.